Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 185 for Tuesday, December 6th of 2002. And on tonight's podcast, we got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Hey, Shannon.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on from the Sun Bowl to the Rose Bowl, now to the playoffs, baby? History. I love it.
Playoffs?
Playoffs,
man! I tell you what, it went from a very dark weekend to a very bright weekend. All of a sudden, it was that was a very interesting turnabout of events. But we'll definitely get into that here in just a few minutes, and new news as of this evening as well. But also joining us tonight, we have got TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
You know, I'm good, but not great. And Nick's upset now because Tampa Bay just scored.
Yeah, we're kind of watching Monday Night Football while we're recording this. So if you hear the moans, the low, subtle tones of Nick Howard, it's because Tampa Bay just scored a touchdown. Nick, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. They let Tom Brady go down and win the game. But in brighter news, we got Max going to New York, so we're all good there.
Well, you know, if there was a quarterback who was very good at comebacks other than Tom Brady, I think Max Duggan would certainly fill that shoe right there. But, you know, let's talk about Max Duggan for Heisman, because, Nick, you are the chairman of the Max Duggan for Heisman committee, and as of this evening, we found out Max Duggan is one of the finalists for the Heisman Trophy, which will be awarded this Saturday night, 7 o'clock here in Texas. And, man, Nick, I tell you, if he doesn't win the Heisman, you've got a ton of writers who must have submitted their ballots really early, because that performance on Saturday was Heisman-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, man, just what a – it started as a joke, you know, because you remember when we were up in the press box, Sean. You know, it's not a great season. I was like, you know, Max still for Heisman. You still got
to – Wait, you have to clarify now what season you're talking about.
The 2021 season, and the firing of Gary Patterson. That was not the greatest season, but you know, and everybody's just moaning and groaning. Oh, what are you doing, Max? And now look at where he's at now. He's doing great things for the Horned Frogs, and everybody loves him. So it's just great to see a bounce back story like this, you know, and just all that he's overcome. And I don't think if you know, it's only one person that I could really see beating him out for it. That's Caleb Williams. But, you know, the way he battled that last game compared to Caleb Williams, how he battled last game, I think you got to give it to Max at this point. You know, the way he put the team on his back at the end, send him to overtime, is just nobody else is more deserving of it.
Well, I tell you, Sunday, going to church – And everybody knows I'm, you know, Mr. Hornfrog at church. And then today going up to campus and all my fellow professors and everybody, of course, they all know I'm Mr. Hornfrog, right? To a T, it didn't even matter. Even my lead pastor, who's a Texas Longhorn fan, everybody to a T was like, man, Max Duggan just willed you guys to that overtime. That was an amazing performance. That was... why didn't you guys just give him the ball to finish out and over? I mean, like, everybody to a T. It wasn't about the missed throws in the first half. It wasn't about the fumble. Was it a fumble? Was it a incomplete pass? None of that. It was his fourth quarter, you know, general-esque, take charge of the game, and exactly what you said, Nick. I mean, if there wasn't a better comparison between Caleb Williams and Max Duggan, it was the championship games where both teams unfortunately lost, but one quarterback did everything he could in a Heisman fashion to win that game, and another quarterback did not. And Shannon, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Does he win the Heisman?
Man, my TCU heart and blood says heck yeah, but do I feel? I'm always gonna feel like the people are finding a way to screw us. I mean, look how they did LT, guys. I mean, let's look at all, and we know he was. I mean, last place in the vote. Come on, you know what I mean. And so with Max getting a late push in to winning it, man, I pray and hope they don't do him dirty. I'll put it like that. But is he deserving of it? Just if I was not a frog and I saw what I saw between these quarterbacks and these top four, yes, he's very deserving. Especially that game, fourth quarter, and this guy's bleeding. He's out of air. He can't think, and he's trying to just get air and do everything he can, and he goes back out. I mean, that last touchdown, I mean, I guarantee you that man's legs felt like he had cement blocks on him. Y'all saw how slow that touchdown was, you know? Oh, yeah. And so, but he willed it. He willed it. And let me tell you something. What I do believe that would carry over, even though we lost, and we can talk about that later, because that's, I mean, you gotta run the guy twice in a row. And it is what it is. You just got to. But anyway, that type of performance will carry over to practice, and it will carry over to the bowl game. You think these guys will win? Somebody told me today, they're like, Shannon, you guys, just what if? Because you hadn't done it yet. And I said, well, maybe against Texas, but just what if you guys go play the perfect game? I said, we go play the perfect game, Michigan's ass is in trouble. That's just bottom line. I said, given our history in big bowl games, we're going to be okay anyway. I said, but I've said all year, we've not played that perfect game yet. The closest was Texas. But besides that, we know that for a fact. So I think that performance that Duggan put on, our Heisman quarterback that should win, put on, will carry over into the playoff game.
Well, you know, that chip is firmly planted in your shoulder, and rightfully so. And I hope it is for this team. And I think, given that sort of performance out of Max, and seeing his oh man, that post game interview with him just ripped my heart out. I mean, the guy is playing with so much emotion. And Nathan, you know, again, I mean, going back to some of the things, I mean, Shannon called it doing us dirty, and can't disagree with that. I mean, you go back to what happened with the 2014 team, and even Trayvon in that 2014 team. You still had that major turnaround between 2013 and 2014 with Trayvon, like we kind of have here with 2021 and 2022 with Duggan. Man, I can just see this team rally behind Max after that sort of a performance and really take it to Michigan. What do you think, Nathan?
Yes, I'm on Shannon's boat with Max and the Heisman. I think they just invited him. Like, and if you hear like everybody talking about it on ESPN and all that stuff, they always say, oh, Max should go to New York, or he deserves to go to New York. But no one's saying that he deserves to win it. He should win it, all this stuff. Like, you'll see, obviously, Frog fans on Twitter saying it, but I don't think we get enough respect regardless for him to be given it. I want him to win it. Obviously, I think he deserves it. He more so embodies the, like we were talking about, the integrity of the trophy.
Right.
And the characteristics of what a Heisman should mean. And has, you know, good stats. He doesn't have the best stats, but he more so embodies that culture of the Heisman more than any of the other candidates that I think. I don't know, you know, like how CJ Stroud and all them are character-wise, but more so obviously than Caleb Williams. But I just don't think they're going to respect us enough, and I don't think they respect what he's done enough and who he's played enough. Like, obviously, they can see that he's been in those situations, but as you can see from every other ESPN person, they don't really watch our games. Everything that they say, they really don't. And we can get into all that and why I think that. But, yeah, because, I mean, Trayvon finished fourth that year in voting. When, I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah. Well, same thing. Like, you know, Shannon said, LT finished last. I mean, arguably probably the best running back in the NFL, at least in our generation, for sure.
Yeah. Man,
since sure. Hands down. One of the best running backs in college football history, hands down, and he finishes last. Yeah, I agree. I think the Heisman is one of those things where it kind of becomes a popularity contest among the writers rather than what it should have embodied or what it started off as embodying. But yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams versus Matt, if it's just between Caleb Williams and Max Duggan, from a character perspective, obviously Max wins hands down. If it's a beauty pageant, I guess if you like guys who tape their fingers and paint their fingers, I guess maybe that's one way of going about it.
And that just embodies Max even more so with the character, because he doesn't even care about it. He really, if he wins it, he wins it in his eyes, like, awesome. Like, that, it's going to be a special moment. But for him, he just wants to win the next game. Like, you can see it, like, even just going into how much, going back to that interview, just talking about how he just wanted to bring the school a championship. Like, he didn't even care about anything else. That's all he wanted. Playoffs, cool, whatever. It'll get to it eventually. But he just wanted to win that game.
Yeah.
That's something you can get behind as a player.
For sure.
Well, Shannon, I mean, when you played, you guys had the field marshal kind of guys out there that you guys rallied behind. But is it just me, or does Max have – is it another level with him?
Bro, this is historically one of the, if not the best quarterbacks, all-around quarterbacks, meaning all the intangibles, the locker room, on and off the field, everything that you want out of a quarterback, I believe that TCU's ever had come through. And we've had some great ones. I mean, Dalton's not a slouch. But the way the people, the fans have rallied behind this guy. I had a woman out of that track practice, had my TCU sweat on running, and I just finished. And she says, hey, did you hear? Duggan just got in with the – I don't even know who this lady is. She just happened to see my TCU on my chest, and I just finished running. And she just blurts it out to me because I got on the TCU. But that just goes to show you that this guy has captured everybody's heart, women, men, kids. And he's just a good dude, man. I really do like this kid. And I think his future is bright no matter what he does. If he goes on a play, which I think he'll get an opportunity. But I just think he's going to be that personality. He's going to be very successful in life.
I agree. I think he will. And, Nick, just to wrap up this Heisman talk, man, how do you feel about his chances in New York?
You know, I don't want to jinx the guy, you know. It's just
– ever the superstitious member of our panel.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want the guy that paints his fingernails to win it, so, you know. I'm just hoping
no
Max
doubt.
Gets a fair chance. Yeah, a fair chance, man. And it's the competition's really – the Final Four is not that grim. You got a guy who only threw 20 touchdowns on the year in there. Yeah, and then the other two are – they're not bad, you know. They all got pretty much the same number. So I think his chances are pretty great, you know. And – who knows? He may be able to walk away with the Heisman and some other awards. So it'd be great. I think he has a high chance of walking away with it.
Well, we'll definitely see on Saturday. So when you join us by the next time next week, we'll certainly know. It'll be fun to see how that all plays out. Well, let's transition a little bit, because what got us into this particular mode was that amazing fourth quarter play by Max Duggan in the Big 12 championship game. Unfortunately, TCU comes up short in overtime, losing by 3 points to Kansas State in a game that, to be quite frank, Kansas State looked to be pretty dominant for most of the game until Max took control of the game. But there were several questionable things that happened in this game that we need to talk about. Nathan, I know you and I were in the press box for this game, and I know you have some strong opinions on the way that game played out. What was the most memorable part of that game for you?
it's a situation where, like, everything, it will take the whole season, for example. Like, everything go right and very end, and then that's all you think about. So for me, obviously, the most fresh thing is the fact that they don't review two key plays. Not only did they not review it, they ended up having to review one because we challenged it, and they still didn't even correct it. Like, they didn't move the ball up from, like, 2 feet, which is a huge deal, because that's a like, I know it's 2 feet, but that's a massive play call difference. Yeah. At an inch, you're definitely going QB sneak. You can't deny that one. Backing up a little bit, yeah, like, obviously, I agree. Everybody can say, you know, we should have gone for the QB sneak at least once. But you've got to, like, I understand the situation. Like, Max is tired, one. Two, we have one of the best running backs in the country, and he's been good at hitting those for most of the season, so we rely on that a little bit. And called his number twice, and I would have ran the QB sneak, but I agree that situation could have called for Kendra Miller twice, because it's Kendra Miller. Like, I'll take him over any running back in the country. But the fact that they didn't review the second one when he reaches over, and everyone's like, when you see the overhead shot, like, 20 people are like that. I immediately saw, like, oh, his knees were down. You can't see the knees from that angle. Nobody reviewed it. Yeah, those refs were trash. Like, I hate refs. That was an absolute joke of a performance in a Big 12 championship game. The first time they all worked together, you can't do that.
No,
whoever was in charge of that, you can't have that be their that first game change. Working together. I could go.
Well, no, that you know, bring up a good point. I mean, that is the first time that crew had ever worked together, because it's kind of like an quote all-star game for those refs, and they picked and choose certain individuals from different crews and threw them all together. Which, you know, if you don't really understand how refereeing works, those guys, and we have, you know, female refs too, but they all tend to work together throughout the season, and they know who's covering what and how everybody is working on that crew. And when you throw a desperate, you know, individuals together and try to make that happen in a championship game, that's a problem. It's an absolute problem. And it showed. I mean, there were several bad calls, and but we can get into the bad calls a little later on. But Shannon, how about you? What was the most memorable aspect of that Big 12 championship game for you?
So I'm going to try to describe this, and Nathan's not wrong, but I want to – the ball placement, all that stuff, even with that being said, that is critical. You're right, because they got it wrong. It should have been at least a foot closer to the goal line based off what we saw in the video. But let's leave that out. I don't know what the analytics say when it comes to a quarterback sneak when the ball's that close. Do I believe, even though he's tired, that you run him twice? I do. Is Nathan wrong about our running back? You're not. The play was wrong. Here's why. As a linebacker coming downhill, guys, when I saw this, I'm like, that's a bad play. Because we as linebackers, we're ready. We know that, and we're surging. We're gone. But when you're a quarterback, you got to realize he took the ball from an inch or a yard out to 3 yards back. So what happens is you give linebackers, everybody, time to surge to fill gaps, and now it's a push thing. Now, the running back, I mean, I wish he would have skied and just did the whole let's go over the top kind of thing. That's my thing as a running back. Yeah, so he didn't do that. So in my eyes, the analytics say if you're going to run him, and I don't know what they say those guys got, but if you're going to run him, you got to run him to where it's a closer – tight deal, like even with a fullback, a quick, like right now, boom, turn around, whatever the case may be. Or you just line up and you have the two running backs push from behind, because now the surge, the linebackers can't get there in time. You break the plane at least before the surge. So to me, the play calling was wrong. And if you just call the quarterback sneak at least one, I think you get the surge and you get that. I think they missed a touchdown, obviously, with the kicks reaching out the ball. But I just think You never take the ball from an inch or a yard out to 3-4 yards deep and give linebackers time to surge and make those plays. You just couldn't do that, and that's what happened. So that's what got me at the time. That was just
not the way that defense was flying around at the time. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we had gained a decent amount of yards and Max had ran for a lot, but that defense was still flying. Even when that was all happening, they were still playing.
They were flying.
I agree. And the thing that I saw that kind of, I think what took them away from that was that the nose was lined up right over the center. And I think it startled them out of it almost. But if you look at the overhead shot, like, Max has at least 2-3 yards before that linebacker's get in there where he can even just make it bop, reach over. It's a touchdown. But yeah, I agree. I would have called the QB sneak at least once.
At least once.
And I was telling Sean, if anything, maybe even trying a boot and just having him throw it away, because then you have the ball right back at the 1 inch. I would have tried a boot or a sneak, maybe a combination of the two. But yeah, yep. I'm definitely going for the sneak.
Yeah. You got to.
Well, actually, taking the ball out of Max's hand, like, I love Kendra Miller. I trust him, and I understand they're trusting him. But at that point in the game, Max is so fired up, like,
based off the Heisman, now that he's in, I'm just going to throw it out there. Now think about he's in, and he won the game for, like, literally the fourth quarter was all him, and now he won the game up at. Like, think about how much – even if he doesn't get in, maybe that – you just never know how these judges are going to – because it's he didn't win it, even though it wasn't his fault. But that the magnitude of a quarterback sneak and him winning the game now that he's in the Heisman, I think is a huge deal. It's a huge deal. So, you know, I hate to beat that dead horse, but I think he hands down, in my opinion, wins the Heisman based off that historic game versus now, you know. We're going to the playoffs, and they got to base it off what he's done prior to that game.
Well, yeah, that is a bit of a depressing thought, but yeah, you know, I agree. You in that situation, and you make a great point, Shannon. When you give the linebackers time to pick and choose a gap and hit it full speed, it doesn't seem like a lot with a guy like Kendra Miller when you're only talking about 2-4 yards at the most, but. That time it takes for that to develop allows those linebackers to come through. And Nathan was absolutely right. Those guys were flying around the field all the way to the end of the game. And, you know, it's not unlike what we've seen out of Big 12 defenses all season long. And I'll be honest with you. Kansas State is a top five team, an absolute top five team. If Howard Sure. starts against Texas, this is a team that comes into the Big 12 championship game 10-2. And probably in the top eight, not number 10, probably the top eight, if not, I don't know, six at that point. I mean, this is not a team that, you know, like, what was it, Purdue that Michigan had to play, or
right.
Utah even
right.
that USC had to play, right? You know, yes. Kansas right. State is an unbelievable team. Deuce Vaughn is one of the best running backs in the country. Against Miller, who's one of the best running backs in the country. Bijan Robinson, one of the best running backs in the country. The Big 12 is stacked from top to bottom. And to mm-hmm. allow those guys, as conditioned as we are in the Big 12, to fly around and give time for that to develop, yeah, you're absolutely right, Shannon. That was a bad call. It should have been Max all the way, 100%. At least one of those times. I do like Nathan's idea of maybe – you know, pulling a bootleg or something out there and let Max do it. I don't know if he had the legs to be able to do that, but I think he had the heart to do it. And mm-hmm. I know he'd want to try it. But I have no doubt that they are working on, you know, goal line and 1 yard to go plays over the next couple of weeks. That will not be a mistake that Riley makes again, I hope. So, but man. Yeah,
no, what's up, Nathan?
Oh, crossing your fingers. No, gotcha.
Fingers crossed he doesn't make that mistake again.
Yeah. I was trying to find out, guys, who's Kansas State playing in the bowl? I knew it earlier today.
Alabama.
Listen, they're going to give Alabama everything they want and then some. And while we're on it, you know, while Saban is rallying for his team to be in the playoffs, you know, come on, bro. Like, just let's get off your high horse and you know, let's quit begging and get there how you usually get there, and that's, you know, winning. But overlook Kansas State if you want to. That's all I'm saying. They're a better team than what people are thinking. I said it going into that game. It's hard to beat a team twice. I said, if you fight me and you beat me up and you come and fight me again next week, you're going to get a total different experience. You may even win, but you're going to have to really fight me this time. So it's just one of, and as a man, as a player, I don't care what it is, you get that taste in your mouth, you get a shot to do it again. It's just hard to do. And to that point, for Max to wheel them all the way back to a tie in overtime, you got to think about all that as well. So I hope the voters and the committee with this Heisman, they think about that game, even though we didn't win, to see what all it took for a guy like that to bring us back and then have a chance to win it.
Well, you know, overall, there were so many individual performances in that Big 12 championship game. Max obviously overshadowed all of them, but, you know, Quentin Johnson had a good game, lost that one fumble. That was heartbreaking, especially after that big catch that we really needed. Tay Barber came on strong. It was good to see Darius Davis back there doing his thing. And there were a couple times where I thought he might have found a seam or something, but Kansas State's just a really fast team to be able to close those gaps up. Overall, I think this was a good showing by the Frogs, but I honestly think that Kansas State came and had a better game plan in that first half. And
we
let them kind of stick around. We didn't have the second half magic to finish out in the overtime. Max had it. Max brought it. There were a lot of guys on that team that followed him all the way to overtime, and unfortunately we just came up an inch short this time. I mean, it's unfortunate. Well, unless you take a look at that third down play, then we didn't come up an inch short. That was a touchdown.
Which is crazy because if you go back to last year's Big 12 championship game, they came up a yard short, and then this time it was an inch short. It just keeps getting closer and closer.
Next year we'll win it. So how about that?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, they'll Max get it has right a COVID eventually. Year. Just want to throw that out. He has a COVID year. He does. And when he was asked about what he's going to do next year, he didn't fully answer the question. So
that's interesting.
Because he did say win it for this year's seniors.
Yes.
So
yeah. Who knows? Man.
Okay, maybe it makes sense now.
He might come back. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But that will be a story for another time. Sorry, Nick. What were you saying?
Talk to your boy, Nick.
There has been talks about somebody else been leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Morris.
Yeah, you think so?
Talking about him going back to Oklahoma. Yeah. Mm. Little birdie across the street. I'm saying that.
You can't go back to Oklahoma after you change your number to 2, acting like you want to be like Trayvon.
He can go to Tulsa. Tulsa's in Oklahoma.
Oh, that's funny.
Saying. Anyway, so this has been a one heck of a season. I mean, this ride that we've been on has been. I mean, you are lying if any Frog fan is saying we were predicting we were going to go undefeated and go to the Big 12 championship game or even make it to the playoffs. But this does not end here. The Big 12 championship is not the end of the road for this team. They did get picked at number 3 in the college football playoffs to face off against Michigan, which I honestly was surprised to find out this will be the first meeting between TCU and Michigan in our history. I mean, these are two very long, and I realize the people on ESPN don't have a freaking clue about the history of TCU football, but these are two very long storied programs. And this is the first time we've ever met. We'll be in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl for the semifinals. So real quick, let's go around the horn and let's talk a little bit about what we expect. When we get closer to the game, we'll do predictions. But since we're a good couple of weeks out, let's talk a little bit about what do you expect this team to work on in this time that they've got to prepare for Michigan? Nick, what do you think the team's going to do in order to help prepare themselves against this very tough and physical Michigan team?
I'm looking at that defense and not saying that there's anything wrong with TCU's defense, but you look at how powerful Michigan running game is. They have a pretty good running game. Even though their star running back is out, their backup is he's dang good, you know. He's pretty good. So they're looking at trying to stop that run. But also, Michigan doesn't have that great of a passing game from what I've seen, you know. And I'm pretty sure our DBs, they're going to do what they're going to shut down all lanes. It's not going to be a fun day for Michigan's backfield. So I see some hard hitting defense. I know Shannon's going to be excited. You know, he's going to probably see another four quarters of TCU defense putting it together. And, you know, offense is going to offense, you know. So they're going to do what they're going to do. And I think we might see our first full complete game from TCU.
Well, Shannon's already rubbing his hands together.
I'm going to go – I said it, and I don't know if I said it in 2014, the Rose Bowl. I don't know if I said it on air or not, but I said it, and I told people because I know the history of our teams. They said Wisconsin would run us all over the field. They're bigger, they're stronger. And I'm like,
push us around.
But they're not. But they're not faster, and they can't last for four quarters because big boys get tired of running. Big boys, they don't. When you don't have that other big boy to lean on, because now you're both tired, you're just kind of fighting for position. It's a different ball game when you have horn frogs that are fast, that are equally strong, if not stronger, but that can play for four quarters. Guys, I'm telling you, my prediction is we're going to wear them down. We're going to wear them down. We're going to wear them down. And then the game is going to bust loose at some point on both sides of the ball. That's just the bottom line. They have a great running back. I like the backup number 7. He's a hell of that guy. Shifty. He can hit it in the hole. He jukes in the hole. Like I paid attention to the last two games and the way he hits the corner. And if he's one-on-one with the corner, I'm sorry. He's making a miss. And so, and he can also juke in the hole pretty good, but he's light. I think, you know what I'm saying? I think after we tag him a few times and wear him down, you know, we'll see how hard he runs, but he's a great running back. They have one number. They have a good receiver. I think at number 2, I can't think of his name right now, but I've seen him. Is it 7 or 6? So they have a good receiver. They're not across the board, but they have a good running back. They have a decent line, and they have a receiver and a nice quarterback. So their passing game is so like Nick said, but they have a hell of a running game. If we stop that run, if we just let them make them throw the ball, guys, it's gonna be a long game. And we're definitely covering that 10 points. I don't know where they get that from.
Well, they want all the Michigan money is what they want. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah. So
I know it.
It's a little crazy. Nathan, what do you think?
See, I'm in the same kind of boat of Shannon where there's a bunch of people talking, and the people talking clearly have not ever watched our games this year, because a lot of them are saying that if it comes down to a physical game, we can't keep up in the run game. Like saying Michigan's run game is like always passed. Clearly that's not true, because that's how we've controlled the game in the second quarter or in the second half. We wear people down, and eventually our running backs just start hitting home run after home run after home run. Go watch the Oklahoma game. We had like five, six touchdowns that were more than 60 yards rushes. Like, I don't know where they're getting this narrative that we can't run the ball. We have Kendra Miller. We have Amari DiMercato. And that's what we do, is at the end of our games, that's how we come to control the ball and why we keep having possessions and why we're able to make comebacks, because we can run the ball effectively and push people around. I definitely think that we're going to work on that defensive scheme, because we got a few holes to fix. K-State kind of exposed that. We'll have to shore that up in the passing game. But, I mean, we have a month now to prepare like we did for B. John Robinson. And look what he did. All I'm saying is that we have the ability to shut down people when we want
to.
When we have the time. And it's the same thing as like how – and, you know, I know we got new coaching staff. I don't know how Sonny Dykes does with bowl games. But under Coach P, when we had time, dude, he would shut anybody down. Look at Ole Miss. They were – and they beat
Bama. Shut them down.
And so – I definitely think that the one of the biggest things for us is going to be hitting that weight room, though, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to do that for sure, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, well,
I was going to say one of the greatest gifts right now for this team, they've done 11 straight weeks of football without a break. 11 straight weeks. I don't care who you are. To go 11 straight weeks and go 10-1, and that one is an inch loss in overtime, is phenomenal. And I don't know, I'm with you, Nathan, but I'll take you one step further. The guys who were talking about, well, TCU football is going to get pushed around. The Big Ten is going to be able to push around the Little Horned Frogs. Not only have they not seen TCU football season long, they haven't watched Big 12 football. Probably haven't watched Big 12 football in a while. So let me drop an interesting stat that I was looking at earlier. We all know the worst offense in the Big 12 this year was Iowa State, right? The absolute worst. Just in total yards alone, Iowa State's in the top half of the Big 10. In passing yards, they're top five. Passing yards, they're in top five.
And they
did Big Ten. Yeah, well, I mean, the Big Ten may be a run-heavy, offense, right? And they've got some good passing teams. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Ohio State, for goodness sakes, they throw the ball around a lot. They don't run it nearly as much as Michigan. But none of those Big Ten teams, to Shannon's point, have to run around air raid offenses. They don't have to deal with no huddle offenses. They don't have to deal with defenses that swarm and have some of the speediest backs and linebackers in the country. They don't have to deal with that. They are geared for power football. They're not geared for speed and power. And I think that's the issue. I think Shannon's absolutely right. We wear teams down for four straight quarters. And the only other team that's been able to go toe to toe with us all season long was Kansas State in both games, and maybe Oklahoma State before they ended up having a bunch of injuries. But that's it. Everybody else gets worn out, and then you're absolutely right, home run after home run after home run. And you can't tell me that we don't have power offenses like Texas in the Big 12, or that we don't have, power offenses like Kansas State in the Big 12. We do. And we have shown that not only can we hang with them, but we can beat them. And, man, I tell you, it's going to be exciting to see what we're going to be able to do to get healthy in the next couple of weeks, get stronger in the next couple of weeks, and game plan for what I think is a very one-dimensional offense out of Michigan. It's going to be fun to see, guys.
Like 2014, 2011. All they're going to do is hear people talking about how we can't hang. And it's just going to add more motivation, and it's going to put that chip back on the shoulder. I want them to hear
it. It's the perfect formula, guys, as I keep going over some of the bowl games of this magnitude. Because, listen, this is the biggest bowl game to date, but let's understand something. Before that, it was a Rose Bowl. It was a big deal, right? And before that, it was some other games. And then, back in my day, the USC, the Sun Bowl was a big deal. What I'm saying to you, they never gave us a chance. None of these games, none of them. We were too little. We were this, and we had to hear it all. Not even all month, but then when you got to the game, you had to hear it that week from the teams. Like, you hear it. They say it to your face. They say it at the party. So then it's like, okay, now you should have let sleeping dogs lie. And when you do that to us as frogs, we take it personal. And if you look at the outcome of all those games, I feel that same spirit, if you will, with this game. I really do. I think we're going to go unhealthy. I think the guys are going to be tired of talking about how they're going to get drug around. Today, if you ask me how I feel better than I felt about the Texas game. I feel better than I felt about this last Big 12 championship game. I feel really good about this game because I know with time, we can shock the world.
Amen. I totally agree. Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was like, oh, man, Alabama should have been in there. I was like, hold on, let me break this down to you, young brother. First off, Alabama barely beat Texas, and Texas wasn't even at full strength because Quinn Ewers was out half of that game, and they barely beat Texas by a shoestring. They didn't even stop Bijan Robinson. You look at us. We go back to what we said before. We controlled Texas, you know. We shut down Bijan Robinson, supposedly the best running back in the Big 12. But
at home.
We all here on the panel. At home. And you think Alabama deserves to be in the Final Four? Nah. I was like, come on, man. Go look at the numbers. Do the math, man. Go watch the film. You got to understand the game before you start putting Bama in there just because of their history. We gotta let go of the history, like Shannon said earlier. We gotta live in it right now.
You're absolutely right, and I tell you what, you should go back and tell you that Alabama fan. It's like if you think for any moment that Alabama should be in the top four because Big 12 sucks, wait till you get a chance to see how your defense is going to handle Deuce Vaughn in that bowl game. As I guarantee you, those Alabama fans are going to be they're going to be so many surrender cobras in that stands after Deuce Vaughn gets done with that Alabama defense. It's going to be a delight to see, man.
They're too big. They're too tall. He's going to chop wood. He's going to chop wood.
Yep.
I can't wait.
That's the funniest thing too, right? Because right before, remember Nathan, right before the game, they had LT and Darren Sproles on the field together. Remember that? And we looked up and I don't know who the sideline reporter was. She's, you know, I don't know who she is, but she's obviously really short because she was the same height as Darren Sproles. And when we looked up at the TV at first, you know, you said, is that LT? And I looked up and I was like, no, that can't be LT. That he's way too tall. And then we realized it was Darren Sproles.
I thought that was LT's like other nephew or something.
Right. So big. But that's just like Deuce Vaughn and Bijan Robinson, right? I mean, Bijan is a big guy. And Alabama couldn't stop him, and you could see him coming. You ain't going to be able to see Deuce coming. That dude is shifty and small.
By the time they see him, he's going to be 5 yards behind the linebackers. So,
that's right.
And then good luck after that.
Exactly.
So I can't wait for bowl season, man. It's going to be great. A lot of good matchups. I'm loving it. This is unfortunately, it's a great time of year, but sad time of year because we've got two more times to see our frogs. Two more times, and it's over.
I like
so
the confidence.
I hate it because it's been that type of year, and it's been a great year. It's been a year I'll never forget. This year, it's been. I'm a season ticket holder, and I go every year, but man, this year has been so special. And then to start off next year, don't want to get ahead of myself with Dion and Colorado Buffalo at the house. It's just, man, I'm already looking forward to next year. It's just, man, I can't. Football needs to be year round.
And we'll get to play primetime next time too.
That's what I'm saying here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a Horned Frog, that's for sure.
Great time. We gotta have a recruiting segment.
We gotta have a what?
We're gonna definitely need to have a recruiting segment of just because I can't wait. You know, just the national exposure and this playoff game and all stuff. It's just I can't wait to hear some of the kids we're gonna be able to bring in.
Yeah, we are definitely going to be covering that. And, you know, we're going to be with you every week leading up to the playoffs and after. And we're going to be covering that. In fact, we will be in Arizona for the game. So you can definitely check that out. But speaking of which, it's a good time to be a Horned Frog. And I think it is time to go ahead and wrap up this week's podcast. Want to thank everybody out there listening to the Killer Frogs. Of course, you can find us on Apple and Google Play, Stitcher, as well as Spotify. Of course, you go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all about TCU athletics. And we might even have an article about that brawl at the women's basketball game tonight. Boy, that was a wild one. 8 ejections. I have never seen a brawl at a women's basketball game. Hopefully some of our guys got video. I haven't seen it yet. I've been out all night, but I hear it was something to behold. And of course, if you want to go on to the Killer Frogs forum, sign up for a free account. Let us know what you think. How do you think the Frogs are going to handle Michigan? Or maybe you're a Michigan fan who stumbled upon our podcast. If so, welcome. Thank you for listening this long. We really appreciate it. You can, of course, send all comments and questions you have to us and sign up for the forum and let us know what you think. Just be ready to take a little bit of flack. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we all get our frogs up and we get to say, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.